Access number 30640, Mr. Len Abbott, Real 5. Now, so after you'd been told you were posted to Hong Kong, now which ship, this is May,
yep,
1952. Now, what ship did you go out on?
I went out on the Orwell.
That's the Empire Orwell.
That's correct.
Now, what do you remember? Were you with a draft then?
Yes. Yeah, I was with a draft, yep.
And what do you remember of joining the Orwell and what your first impressions of it were?
Well, when I first joined, because we had to go to Waterloo, somewhere like that, and all the girlfriends and all the boyfriends all turned up, and you know they was all saying goodbye to one another and what you. And then we went from there. We went straight on to the, I'm sure it was Southampton we went to. I'm sure of it. Anyway, we went on the ship. We was on there for a night, and then we left the next day.
Now, what was your mess deck like? You know, where you were living down below. I presume you were down below.
Yes, I was down below, right down below.
What was it like on the mess deck?
Well, let's put it this way. When we first got there, we was invited to a lot of food. Or we had a lot of food laid on the plate. And everybody was downstairs and eating well and doing everything really well. But then, of course, what we didn't realise is when we get out a little bit, we was going to come unstuck. But at the beginning, it was lovely because the meals that we had were really, really good. And then what happened to us? As I say, we woke up in the morning, went out on deck and said goodbye to everybody. And the band was playing and all that. And off the boat went. Or the ship went, and we got halfway out, and then we had to go around the rock of Gibraltar, what's the name of the rough sea, where is it?
Bay of Biscay.
That's it, and it really did, it sent us all, and I mean all. And it was really, really rough.
Now, how bad was it for you? What was it like?
I was ready to call it a day. Really, honestly and truly, I felt so sick because I'm even sick on a boat that goes up the Thames now. But I can assure you that once I got out there and we was just floating around like a cork. That's what it, honestly and truly, that's what it felt like. Although it was such a big ship, but we went down in the waves. And you could see the back of the boat come up, the back of the boat went down, and of course we come up, and then there was nothing. That's how bad it was. It was really a really dip and dip for us.
So you were actually sick?
Oh yeah, many a time. I mean, I went through that, we went through there in 2 days, I believe. And all the time we was going through, even when we was coming out to hit flat sea, if you like, it was still bad. And we never had nothing to eat. And I got told by a couple of, there was a sailor boy there who'd done the cooking for us. And he said, whatever you do, you must have something in your stomach. So these dry biscuits, you've got to eat. Eat as many as you like of them. And of course, because when you're trying to be sick, if you've got nothing in your stomach to be sick, it really makes you heave. And of course, really, we was better off because once he told us that, we started chewing them and we was chewing them all day. We used to have packets of them. I mean, don't ask me where he got them from, but he supplied us with packets of them. And, of course, there was a few of us there that kept on eating them all day. And then when we went up on deck, the old wind, you know that sea, it's got a horrible smell to it. I can't explain the smell, but I can remember it when I was there, I can assure you. And it was it did upset us. So, of course, but once that was all right, and then we got on the flat, then we started easing off, and we started if you like, our trip out there.
Now, what was it like in your mess tech then? Can you describe the sort of layout? What was it, you know, how crowded was it?
Very crowded, very crowded. And when we went out there, we had, you didn't have bunks, nothing like that. You had hammocks.
How did you take to that?
Well, funny enough, until I learnt it, I didn't like it. But once I'd learnt it, and what they did, they showed you the way that the hammock kept straight. And when you got into the hammock properly, instead of it rocking, and you got the feel of the boat rocking up and down, and it didn't rock. So really, you was okay. So that's what we found of it. And as I say, we went out there with, there was a half a dozen fusiliers. Because there was about, there was a 10 of us to start off with. Three went on to, that signed up for the Queens. And then what happened was, we went off to, we was going out to the battalion.
Which battalion was that?
That was the Royal Fusiliers Battalion.
And you knew that?
Yeah, we knew that. Yeah, we knew when we left here that we would be going in the front, mixing up with the battalion in Korea. But of course, you had to go to Hong Kong first to be acclimatised or whatever they put it down to, or to learn a lot more than what we actually learned.
What about, so how crowded was your mess deck? I mean, there's not many of you, but there's plenty of other troops aboard, I presume.
Well, I would suggest you didn't have much room to jump out the bed, out the hammock. I mean, it was as crowded as that. And you had boxes, and a box was allowed ability to you, and you put all your gear in it, and that was yours. You had a little lock and everything to go with it, but really, that was yours. But as far as, for getting up in the morning and getting a wash and a shave, it took forever. So really what we used to do, we was lucky because we was near the, if you like, near these big stairs that there was, and up the top of the stairs on the right and left hand side was all the washrooms. So, of course, we found it easier if you got up early in the morning. We could get up there, have a wash and a shave, and do everything we had to do, and then come on down. And this is what we'd started doing at the end. But really, it wasn't too bad at all.
What was the food like? You said it was very good at the start. What was it like later on?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm one of the lucky ones. I don't... it's got to be bad food for me to say it's bad food. In other words, even like hospitals, you know, you go into hospitals and they say, what's the food like? Other people will say it's rubbish. I didn't find it
so
that
way. So
you're
not bored, bothered if it's a bit boring or
oh, no, no, no.
It's
got to
be actually odd.
But it wasn't, actually, it wasn't boring. Because when you went down there, you didn't just have one meal. It was like fish. And then you went over, you could have either fish that night or you could have bubble and squeak or whatever you... There was about three or four on the menu. It wasn't just one menu that you had. So really, within reason, it wasn't a bad... The only one that was more or less the same was your breakfast. You got up there, you had your cereal, then you had egg and bacon and all that. Believe it or not, you had egg and bacon. And it was, and toast, and it was pretty good. Well, I found it pretty. I didn't complain about the food. Let's put it that way. I didn't anyway.
Were you doing any training when you settled down? It got flat, and you got. Did you do any training, PT or anything?
Yes, we had to do PT. We had to march around the decks, because don't forget, we're not talking about a ship that's just a little boat. You're talking about a football field, where you could walk around the outside of the ship, and it would take you a fair while to go around. You'd be doing PT and all that. But then what they started doing was documenting you. They took you into cabins, if you like. That's the only way I can explain it. Cabins where you'd sit there and they would have a film on, and it would tell you what you're allowed to do. You don't go with women because this is what you'd land up with. I think you understand what I mean.
Yeah, no, the VD film, that's the famous one.
The and another one was sleeping. When you got out there, you had to use your nets for sleeping, because if you didn't, they had a cartoon that where this little bug would come around, that little mosquito would come around and go underneath and jump on you and bite you every day and again. And then, of course, it would land you up with the fever.
Malaria.
But, yeah, malaria. So, of course, automatically, you listen to them. We had plenty of arm training, like the rifle, the Bren gun, the Sten gun.
How did you do that?
Well, we'd done it in classes where we did it anyway. When we'd done it in classes where we, how can I explain it? They would ask you how to strip down a rifle, how to strip down this. You'd learn all about that, and then automatically they would be pulling something at the back of the boat, would be pulling it along. And then you would take rifle pot shots at it and all that. And the officer would stand up there with a pair of binoculars and see how far you're getting, how good you was doing and how good you wasn't doing. So, that, I mean, there was all that training. But mainly, we'd only done that in the morning, and all afternoon you had to yourself.
Now, what would you do? How did you keep yourself amused? You know?
Well... how?
Or did you just sleep?
Well, we did sleep some of the time, but most of the time we was in the canteens, what we call canteens. We was in there playing with cards, having little... there's a bloke there who could play a piano.
So you wouldn't stay in your mess deck, you'd go to the canteen?
Oh, no. You walk around the ship, but there were certain places on the ship that you wasn't allowed to go. Number one, there was officers' quarters, and number two, there was the civilian quarters. Like, because don't forget, a lot of the civilians were being taken over by their wives. So the husband were taking their wives over to Hong Kong and places like that. So of course they had their own places. But other than that, really it was you just play cards, see films. I mean, we see a lot of films that are going out there.
What kind of stuff?
The old comedy, some of the thrillers, but it's only what you'd seen before when you was at home. You know, you'd seen them all before, but it was something to do. And most of that, believe it or not, was done in open air. Because really, the weather was so good, it was unbelievable.
Now, which way did you go? The route?
We went through the Suez Canal.
You went through the Mediterranean, then through the Suez Canal.
That's right. I don't know my sea, so...
That's all right.
The Dead Sea we went through, that's full of salt or something, isn't it? Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Well, we went through
the Suez
there. Canal,
then
went on to Singapore? No.
Ceylon and Singapore?
No.
Singapore's on the way, and Ceylon is.
Well, Aden we went to. Singapore we went to, because I can remember when we went, because there was at Singapore there was Hilton there, Big Hilton, and like you went there. But I'll tell you what, when we went there and we was allowed to go ashore and all that, when we went there there wasn't no places for us to go, sort of thing. The only places you could go was the naughty places. then, you know, it was all laid on a plate for you. I suppose that's to make you spend your money. But it didn't bother us, and we went. We used to go around, and what shall I say? We did went to pitches a couple of times, went and done other things like just like that. That's the kind of thing we did. Enjoyed ourselves, but just to say really that we've been there actually, so, you know, most of the time.
Now, how long? Anything else on the route out? You started off in May. I presume you get there in June, wouldn't you?
Yes, so, well, it took us, it did take us approximately 28 days to go out to Hong Kong.
So probably June 15th.
Yeah. So, and when we got to Hong Kong, then of course it was all debarked, like we all had to jump off the ship and get all the thing and get Kowloon we went to.
Who were you joining there then?
That was still the same regiment. Still, we was a part of a contingency that was going to Hong Kong. There was, as I say, there was only about nine of us that were actually going.
But you weren't joining the Royal Fusiliers in Hong Kong?
Yes, I was.
I
was already there. I was already a Fusilier. And what we did, we went to these barracks, and as you say, there were so many other different regiments that were there.
And which barracks were these? Or which camp? There's a few around Kowloon.
I'll tell you the one we went to. We went to the one where you went up the hill and you looked over, just over the big hill. And you could see communist like the Chinese borders were there. And they told you, no way was you allowed to go onto that line.
So you weren't attached to a battalion at the time? You were just in
I was just in just going around, getting ready to go. No, it wasn't a capture at all, for the battalion.
Now, what were your first impressions of Hong Kong back then? What did you think of Hong Kong?
Well, the first impressions, I can always remember, I mean, it sticks in my head as though it was yesterday. We was told where to go, and we went up the hill, and we dropped all our gear off, and then we were told where the naffy was, and we went down the naffy. But as we're going there, it started raining, and it started raining, and it rained, and it rained, and it kept on raining. And one of the blokes said, I just see our tent go by. He said, you've got to be joking. When we went and had a look, there was no tents on the hill at all. They had all been swept away. And all down the bottom was where your kit and everything was. Where it had all been, it actually, like the monsoons, had actually taken it all the way down. And of course, we landed up down the bottom, trying to sort all our gear out. I mean, I never found my gear. I never found it at all. I mean, it was just literally gone. I mean, I don't know what happened to it, but my gear was not found, and none of my mate's gear was found, so we managed to get other stuff which they give us. But that's the first time that we ever landed up doing in Hong Kong. That was a time and a half, that was. And then we went on to Kowloon. Because you really, I suppose, what it was a camp that took you there, and then they started finding out where they were going to put you, what you was going to make you do and everything, and what kind of training you're going to need. And, of course, we went to down to Kowloon. And we was all right there, funny enough. It was a nice camp. But, of course, we didn't stay there very long. Because
now, were you doing any extra training there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we'd done extra training.
Tell us about that. What do you remember of the extra training?
Well, what they made you do, first of all, they started giving you tablets, salt tablets. And they come along and they put one in your hand all the time. Well, that was a stupid thing to do. because none of the boys were taking salt. So what they did, they come along and they made you take your water bottle and put it out with no top on it, and they used to come along and drop the salt in your water bottle. So when you drank, you automatically drank the salt. But it was good. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, it was a sensible thing to do because you was losing so much salt through your sweat and what have you that it made your life a lot different. And it did. Funny enough, it did. You know, you went down and you went to the MO and he asked you what was the matter and you just said, I don't know, I feel drowsy and this, that and the other. And he said, have you been taking your salt tablets? And of course, big grin came on our faces. And he started giving us salt tablets. And we found that it was bringing us, it made you feel good. So really, it was a bad thing that we were doing by letting the salt tablets go, like, you know.
So what about acclimatisation to the hot weather? I mean,
well, that's what we were doing. That's what we were out training, climbing hills.
Do you find it very hot? Do you get sunburned?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. As soon as you was out there, you was only out there for, what, a fortnight? And then when the next lot that come in, the next load of blokes that come in, you could see them pure white, and you were all dark, sort of thing, you know? So, of course, you did know.
Did you know not to get sunburned, and properly sunburned? Because, I mean, it was a charge. I mean, did you know that? Or?
Oh, yeah. But we never got sunburned. Oh, well, I didn't. I didn't get sunburned.
You just went nice and brown.
I went nice and brown. I was all right. I was. I'll tell you the one that you're talking about, the self-inflicted thing.
If you get too sunburned, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'd do that. And also if you had tattoos done. Because there was people that having tattoos done, and of course, they were all turning on them.
What do you mean?
Like, they were going poison. Because of the dirty needles and whatever you name it, they were doing it. Of course, when you went to the MO, straight away, he put you on a charge because it was self-inflicted. So what they used to do is to come along in the morning, first thing, and you used to have to put your arms out like this. And if he thought that you'd done something on your body, you'd have to take your top off, and it, you know, and things like that. But that's really
so they were banned.
Oh yeah, they
and
wouldn't.
So you didn't have yours done then?
No, I had mine as I was coming through.
On the way back?
No, on the way through, on the way into when I was going to Korea. On the way there, but I didn't do it on the way back because I didn't need no more anyway.
Tell me about, I mean, what made you want tattoos? I mean, because they're not easy to get off. You know?
They're not, you know, you can't get them off. Well, it's like yourself. There'd be a band of us. This one we had done for Hong Kong. Right? So instead of just one, he done the six of us. All had the same. Death for Glory, all done the same. These others, like this here, I had this done for June upstairs. Lucky enough, I stayed with the same girl for 54 years. So I'm not doing too bad, but no, I've stayed with the same girl, and all the girl's name in there, believe it or not, is June. So
did it hurt when they did them? I mean, what was it like?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people haven't had them done, so they're not done that as much. Well, it's coming back now a bit. But what was it like when they did them?
You go really. If you'd have thought, I mean, thinking about it now, I would never have had them done, because when you went to have them done, he had a bit of old rag that looked like they scrubbed the floor. And most probably that was only the dark dye that was being used. But it did, it looked. And of course, when they put the needle in, it hurt. But mind you, people had other jobs done. I mean, it's not so bad on the arms, on your arms. But when you have it done on your behind and on your back and in the front, I mean, it does really hurt. But there was a couple of blokes there. Never, never, I mean, it's such a laugh, really. I mean, it's wicked for them, but they went and they had these tattoos done, and when they woke up, they realised that they had these tattoos done, and they're both doing their conkers.
They'd had them done when they were drunk.
That's right. And they all went and had a shower. And when they come back, they didn't have any damp tattoos. they'd all washed over, all a lot of them. But you could still see where the line had been, where they'd had tattooed them, but they didn't do it properly or something. I don't know what happened, but anyway, they got away with it then. So
tell me a bit more about the training you were doing there. It's more continuation training, isn't it?
You had to, you was going out roughly, I would say, during the week, you'd go out about 4 or 5 times during the week. You'd do marches. Really, they put the emphasis on more exercising, to, as you say, to acclimatise yourselves to the weather.
So what would a route march be like in Hong Kong?
Oh, very hard. But they made you do it, and you done it. I don't think there's any person that I can actually say that I put my finger on that didn't want to do something. That everybody sort of, not like today. I would imagine today they're sort of softer. They are soft today. I mean, when we was in the army, you was told to do something, and if you didn't do it, you got punished for not doing it. Whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent. But that's the type of thing I'm trying to say. When we was doing whatever they told us to do, we done it.
On a route march, would you go in the hills?
Yeah, you go out in the hills. You go up as far as you can go. They'd make you dig in, like dig trenches to go in, and things like that. You had to do all that. You had to carry all the ammo up the top for the big guns, the small guns. You name it, we done it.
And how realistic were the exercises, do you think?
Fifty-fifty, I would say. There wasn't, because when we got to Korea, they were different. But when we was doing it, of course, we automatically thought this is the way war is. But
so you were happy enough with the exercises at the time?
Oh, yes,
You thought it was realistic then?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, there was plenty of times that we went up and we got cheesed off. And like there was one time that we went and didn't realise it, but we went up this hill and we're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning.
This is still at the
Hong Kong? Yeah, in Hong Kong. And of course, what we didn't know is, I don't know if you know this, but how richer you are, the higher you're buried in the up the mountain. No, well, it's true. The richer you were, the higher you went. And of course, there was a couple of broken ones. And of course, we mucked around and we had a look inside. And all you could find was skeletons in there. And that really messed us up. It did mess us up a little bit.
In what way? What do you mean?
Well, it was frightening more than it was. I mean, let's be fair. We'd just gone out on patrol, and you're coming over, if you like, a graveyard. But instead of them burying they put them in big pots. And when they bury them. And then what they do, they wait a couple of years, and then they pick them up and polish all the bones. And of course, that's what we found in the thing. And there was a lot of little bits of paper. They called it paper money, and that would see them up to heaven and all that old palaver. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't. I would say I was scared. Let's put it this way. I'm not going to talk about the others, but I was scared.
Were the pots broken, or did some
yes.
of them, or did you
well,
not
we,
break them?
Well, we'd done a few of them in. I mean, we'd done it on purpose, really. Because, number one, we wanted to know what was in there. And of course, coming up against them, and of course, you'd see them and then you'd find all the skeletons and all that in there, and of course it didn't make you feel all that well, you know.